morning, Faith Church. It's good to see your faces once again as we prepare to listen to what God's Word has to tell us this morning. Wow, that's really good worship. Thank you. Just a reminder that we are continuing to move towards and closer to the celestial city. And the closer we get there, the louder the music becomes, right? To hear the angels, to hear the King. Our hope of glory. It is good to be with you this morning as we enjoy life in His name. And even though that we're here right now, even though we're here living in a fallen world, we still remember that we're waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, it certainly can be difficult to live under the sun, under the present conditions, under the present fallen world, because this present fallen world, as Romans puts it, it groans, it aches, waiting, as it were, to be set free from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom, and get this, of the children of God. Are you waiting for that day? According to Romans chapter 8, verse 22, are you waiting for that day? That's a promise. It's going to happen. Yes, so long as we wait, so long as our Lord tarries, we groan inwardly. But as we learn to press on and enjoy life in His name, we come to learn that through the voice of the shepherd, that this momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond comprehension. Yes, depending on your season of life, it can be tough to live. It can be tough to enjoy life in His name, even as followers of Christ. But listen, we've walked through the door. We've walked through the door of salvation that is Christ, the hope of glory. He always keeps His promises. Yes and amen. If He keeps His promises to Adam and Eve when He says, if you eat of this tree, you will what? Surely die. And then what happened? They ate. And what? He fulfilled His promise. The curse came. And so if we know that He keeps His promise in that regard, what about the promise of eternal life? What about the promise of the glories that are to come? If we know and we see our body decaying, we know it's a reminder of the fall, right? And we also should be reminded of the glories to come, yes? So as we walk through our series in the book of John, Jesus often used physical illustrations to direct His people to greater spiritual truths, greater spiritual realities. And when you think of God, when you think of God becoming a man, condescending, coming down, robing Himself in flesh, we see the ultimate example of God revealing Himself in a way that people can know Him. In a way that we can grasp the God-man as He succumbs to our weaknesses, yet without sin. We put our trust in Him. The Lord used all kinds of physical illustrations to direct our focus to spiritual realities. You've heard things such as being born again, the fountain of living water, the bread of heaven. Physically blind reveals spiritually blind. I mean, Pastor Bob preached on this last week. And so perhaps for some of you who are here this morning, you're going to see Christ using physical illustrations for the first time, and yet for others who have been in Christ for much longer, for a long period of time, you're walking in His name. You need, and I need, the spiritual reminder, because our hearts, as one hymn put it, we are so prone to wander, oh Lord, we feel it, prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart, oh Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above. And so often we need a fresh reminder, yes? We need a reminder because our faith can become weak. Our faith can sometimes become brittle. I want you to enjoy life in His name. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy following the Good Shepherd. I want to please invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to be looking through 21 verses. Four reasons we follow Jesus, our shepherd. I mean, why do we follow this God-man? Why do we follow Him? Why do we follow Him? We follow Him because Jesus is the true shepherd. He says in verse 1, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Okay, stop there for one moment because we need to back up to chapter 9 just to get a bit of the background as we segue into chapter 10. Can we do that for a moment? You remember in Pastor Bob's sermon last week that the Pharisees had thrown a man who was once blind and can now see through this man out of the synagogue because he was miraculously healed by Christ. You remember that discussion, right? Even if it's just a little bit. Pastor Bob preached about that. After this man was thrown out of the synagogue, Jesus went after him and he asked this man this. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered by saying, who is he, sir? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He was ready. You see that? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who was talking with you. And he said, I believe. I believe, Lord. And he worshipped him. Proskuneo in the Greek, it means to worship. He worshipped Christ. I mean, now what did Jesus do for this man that he already didn't do with most of you who are here in this room this morning? You need to understand that Jesus used this man, this blind man who can now see both physically and spiritually, as an illustration of us who are born into this world blind, not yet knowing the great shepherd of the sheep, that it's him whom we must come to face with in order that we may see again. And as Pastor Bob had said, like the blind man who was walking by faith and not by sight, by turning his life over to Christ, we are to exemplify that kind of saving faith. And for others who are here this morning, we must surrender our life over to the Good Shepherd by faith alone so that we may see him the way he ought to be seen. But if not, for those who have not surrendered your life over to Christ, here's a warning in John chapter 9, verse 38. He said this, he says, for judgment I came into this world so that those who may not see, those who do not see, may see. And those who say they may see, or those who say they see, become blind. You see that? It's a judgment. You don't want to follow the shepherd? You're blind. You don't want to follow his path? You're blind. You don't want to surrender your life over to Christ? You're blind. But for the blind man, he knew very little. He understood very little. All he knew was he was blind, but now he could see. He didn't know who Jesus truly was until Jesus revealed himself to him, resulting in the man coming to faith in Christ alone. But to those who say they see, are bound in their sin because they don't believe in the one who opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. You see that? That's why he zeroed in on the Pharisees. I mean, he zeroed in right on them. They thought they could see. They would travel to different lands, and Jesus condemned them. He says, you travel just to win a single convert. And when you've won him over, you have made him twice as much of a son of hell as you are. They are blind. They lead those into further and deeper darkness. They thought that they were bringing God's people to him. They were not. They were blind, leading the blind from the door, away from the door of salvation. So our Lord called them thieves. He said, you thieves, you robbers, using them as an example for us to steer clear, away, stay away in application. Stay away from the spirit of the age. Stay away from it. Those who say they see. It leads you away from Christ, away from the narrow gate. That is Christ in John chapter 10, verse 1, when he said, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up another way. You find another way of salvation, you're a thief. You're a robber. That's what you are. That's what Jesus is saying. We need to be careful. We need to be discerning with what we watch and what we see. This whole landscape and this world, it can be so deceptive because at some point in time, we're going to stumble across or stumble into the spirit of the age that is going to say something that is contrary to what the teachings of Christ and the precepts of his word
are, but his sheep. Who are his sheep? His sheep recognize the voice. They recognize his words. They know what he says. They know what he doesn't say. He's recognized by the sheep. He's recognized by the sheep. He says, but the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice. We're at verses 2 and 3. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Just stop there for a moment. And just a quick background, because I really just want you to appreciate the importance of this parable. Jesus was a master at storytelling. He was a master at parables. A parable, by the way, is always a story with a powerful spiritual punchline at the end of it. His parables always hit the mark every single time. His stories were taken from everyday life, and in this case, he used the most basic of illustrations. A door. You cannot get more simple than that. Well, not a door per se. It was a gate, but it was like a door in that it allowed for entrance into wherever you needed to go. You can go in, you can go out. It was a door. Jewish families would share their sheep among other Jewish families, but among these families there was typically one shepherd who tended the sheep. And what's interesting is that the walls around this pen were about 6.5 feet high, and anybody who climbed over the wall, you knew that they weren't there for good purposes. You knew they were there to steal. They didn't have anyone's best interest. They didn't have the other family's best interest. They didn't have the shepherd's best interest. They were just in it for themselves. They were there to steal and to rob. In fact, according to one source, it's not in the slides here, I just want you to listen. According to one source, it says this. Jesus drew his illustration from the sheep industry of the day. The way the sheep were cared for in ancient Israel was very different from the way they are handled today. In those days, there was one large central pen or a sheepfold in a given community, and at the end of the day, the people brought their small individual flocks and led them into the big sheepfold. With the combined resources, they paid a gatekeeper, and it was his job to stay with the sheep during the night. In the morning, the gatekeeper opened the gate to those who were truly shepherds, whose sheep were enclosed in the sheepfold. The shepherd entered by the door, for they had every right to do so. The sheep were theirs, and the gatekeeper was their paid servant. Now note this. When a shepherd entered the sheepfold, the sheep recognized his voice and came to him. In fact, the good shepherd was so intimately involved with the care of the nurture of his sheep that he had names for them, and he would call them by name, and his sheep followed him because they knew his voice. That's a really great application, is it not? I mean, my friends, listen to me. I mean, isn't it our obligation to know the voice or the word of Scripture? Yes? I mean, isn't that our obligation? If we're going to discern his voice, to know what he said, from what he doesn't say, from what the world says, from what Christ says. I mean, listen, there's so many talking heads in our culture, right? There's so many. I mean, you got these networks, Peacock, you have, that says so many things. You have Netflix, you have HBO Max. I mean, it goes on and on. You have CNN trying to win your mind. You have Fox News trying to win your mind. You have an array of talking heads. Talk, 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 talk. Spiritual gurus all over the place. Deepak Chopra, I mean, you name it. Talking, talking, talking. It can be so confusing. I've listened to some of your discussions, by the way. And for the most part, I like what I hear. I really do. I've heard followers of Christ. I've heard you say things like, I'm just giving you a big picture approach here. That's not what the Bible says. Let me show you what the Bible says on this matter. Let me show you what the Bible says on that matter. I mean, you have these kinds of discussion have an array of settings and backgrounds, such as the North End Bible Group. You have jail ministry. You have a counseling session or a Bible conference. You just go ahead and just fill in the blank. But the common denominator of all of these things is that God's people know the voice of the Savior and they graze on his word because his word fills our hearts. It fills our spiritual appetites. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this. It says, know that the Lord himself, that he is God. It is he who made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, when I stopped, I could hear some of you reciting the text back to me. That's a good thing. Why? Because you recognize his word. You know his voice. You know what he's saying. You know what he's saying. In other words, his sheep, he calls his sheep and he leads his sheep. Verses 4 and 5. When he puts all his sheep outside, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And it says this, verse 5. However, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. They don't know his voice. They don't know his voice. Perhaps a living illustration. Let me give you an example. Just a living illustration. Hopefully the video will work here. I love this illustration. You might need to turn it up. That's not the sound. Let me back it up real quick. You ready? You just say when and I'll hit the button. All right, here we go. Hit the button. He doesn't know my voice, you know? There you go. Yes? Yes? I don't want to skip the video. Oh, should I? Okay, there you go. Next one. There we go. This is so great.
One more time.
Just trying to call the sheep.
That was good.
Just trying to imitate his voice. The shepherd.
Look at them, look at them.
Yeah, come here. Oh my God. Woo! Oh my God.
And he goes out.
Oh my God.
He feeds them, and guess what they do? They follow him. Wherever he goes, wherever the shepherd goes, they follow. He calls a sheep. He calls a sheep. He calls you. He calls me. He spreads his word out, and what do? We feed on his word. We feed. He fills our hearts. When we're troubled, he comes after us. That's sheep. I mean, what a perfect illustration. Let me go ahead and test this out some more. Everybody put your head down. Everyone put your head down. Everyone, head down. Okay? When you hear the voice of the shepherd, listen to me. When you hear the words of the shepherd king, your shepherd, I want you to lift up your heads. You get that? Keep your heads down. When you hear the words of the shepherd, lift your heads up. Okay? I don't believe in a heaven or a hell or an old man sitting on a throne. I believe in a higher power bigger than me because that keeps me accountable. End quote. Here's another quote. Whatever anybody believes, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, it's fair enough and works and I think is real and matters. End quote. Here's another quote. I'm a free-thinking Christian who believes in my way, but I don't believe that it's the only way. With 6 billion people here on the planet, end quote. Here's another quote. There's no one way to heaven, one way to paradise. It's like television. It's pretty entertaining, so I'm pretty sure that to get to heaven, it's got to be more than one route because somebody watching another channel than you, they're still getting entertained, and they probably still get into heaven, end quote. Here's another quote. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the light of the world. Your heads are up. You get it. He who follows me, you see that? Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Your head's picked up. You recognize his voice. You recognize the words of God. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, you hear his voice, he shall live. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this is an easy question. How in the world did you know his voice? How did you know his voice? I mean, take a wild guess. Just take a wild guess. The shepherd is leading you, and you know what he said. That's how you know. You know that the only way to the kingdom of heaven, to that celestial city to come, is by following his lead. You know what he says. Obey his word. You keep following. But if you're not in his word, if you are susceptible to all sorts of deception, susceptible to all sorts of talking bobbly heads, you're going to be tossed around left and right by every wind of doctrine. And if that is you this morning, do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Over the years, I've met a number of people that are literally just, I mean, they're all over the place. All over the theological map sometimes. I mean, they don't even have a clue which way is up, which way is down. They don't have a clue from truth, from error. But we're not to be this way. We're not to be this. We're not to even act that way. We're to be on the straight and narrow path. And if you understand that, it's because you know the voice of the shepherd. You know the voice of the shepherd king. You get it. But unfortunately, in verse 6, we read that Jesus told them this figure of speech. Listen to what it says. But they did not understand what the things which he was saying to them meant. They still didn't get it. And so some of us today, I mean, we're not that much different from those who couldn't understand what Jesus was teaching them, referring to the Pharisees who had an unbelieving kind. It was empty. It was an empty faith. What they believed was empty. They thought they could see, you see? But isn't that the nature of unbelief? Right? It's blind. Isn't that the nature of unbelief? It doesn't surrender to the voice of the words of the shepherd. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's why it's foolish to follow the shepherd, the world says. It's foolish to say that there's only one way. It's foolish to say that Jesus is the only way. They can't understand his word because it needs to be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So what does Jesus do? He speaks to them bluntly. He speaks to them plainly so that they cannot misunderstand whatsoever. Whatsoever, that he's the door to eternal life. Jesus said to them, he said, truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. Just very plain, very simple. In other words, my friend, salvation is not found in anywhere else.
For there is no other name under heaven that is given among mankind by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Again, don't step into the spirit of the age. I said this before here when preaching. My professor always warned us, and he said, don't step in the gajikta. We didn't know what that was. What is that? And then he translated it for us so we can understand. Don't step in the spirit of the age. Don't follow the spirit of the age. Even if it's close to the truth and they say something contrary to Christ, don't step in the spirit of the age. If you came here this morning with the understanding that there are many ways to heaven, I got news for you. I'm here to tell you that salvation can only be found in Christ alone. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other door. There is no other great shepherd. He is the only one. Jesus is the door to eternal life. He's the only one, because there can be no other one. In contrast to many false teachers who have come before. Verse 8, all those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You will find your satisfaction in Christ. You will find your satisfaction in Christ. There is only one door to salvation. The thief comes in only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Remember those quotes that you didn't recognize? Remember all those quotes? They said worse things than that about Jesus. Worse things. Some of the things are so just deceptive. But there's only one door. There's only one door. Those people that are saying those things, or maybe saying those things to you outside of the church, they're thieves. They're robbers. The spirit of the age stumbles over Christ. Stumbles over Christ rather than to surrender to his lordship. They're robbers. They rob the gospel truth and drain spiritual life from others, all the while putting a stumbling block over God's people. Matthew 18 says this. He warns the spirit of the age. He warns those kinds of people. He says this. He says, whoever causes these little ones, meaning God's people, God's sheep, whoever calls these little ones to believe in me, to sin, it would be better for him that a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. You're going to be in trouble when you stand before God because you were a stumbling block to those who believe. The door leads to abundant life. The door to Christ, the door who is Christ, leads to abundant life. I love what the Cambridge singers have said. Anybody here, the Cambridge singers? Those who are mostly like musicians might know who this is. Listen to what they said. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness fails never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leads, and where the verdant pastures grow with food celestial feeds. Perverse and foolish often I've strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid in home rejoice brought me. In death's dark vale I fear no ill with you, dear Lord, beside me, your rod and staff my comfort still, your cross before to guide me. You spread a table in my sight, your unction grace bestows, and oh, what transport of delight from your pure chalice flows. And so through all the length of days, your goodness never fails. Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 11, it just really strikes me right now. What a great reminder. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his people, his sheep. He lays it down. He lays it down. He laid his life down for sinners. He laid his life down for the sheep. And you know, in Christian theology, we call this penal substitution. It means that Christ took upon himself sin on the cross and bore the wrath of God for who? For his people. For his people. For his sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of what? Of us all. You know his voice. Isaiah 53:12. Yet he bore the sins of many
and makes intercession for the what? The transgressors. For the transgressors. Who are the transgressors? I'm a transgressor. You're a transgressor. Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in God's merciful restraint, he let the sins previously committed go unpunished. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him who what? Who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in, you know, in Christ. You know his voice. And, you know, it's nice to hear you recite this back to me. It really is. Because again, it's just a reminder for me that we all need to know the shepherd's voice. On the cross, God looked at Christ and saw you. Now he looks at you and sees Christ. You see? One pastor said. You listen, I hope we never grow tired of hearing this truth. Seriously, I hope we never grow tired of it. Upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. O Jesus, Son of God, I build on what thy cross has done for me. There both my life and death I read, my guilt, my pardon, there I see. He is an owner. He's not a hired hand. Jesus owns you. You get that? He owns you. You don't. You're bought with a price. Why in the world are you going to go out and sin against him? But you think he doesn't see? My God, who does not see, says the Lord. Do I not inhabit the heavens and the earth? He owns you. He bought you with a price. He was a hired hand. Verse 12 and 13. He who was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming. Application, sees the spirit of the age, and he leaves the sheep and he flees. He sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he's a hired hand. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care. There are people out there who just don't care about the word of God. They don't care about what you have to say to them. In fact, they're trying to convince you away from Christ. Against the word, against what the word of God teaches. They're trying, the spirit of the age is trying to pull you away from him. Pull you away so that you can suffer shipwreck. That's exactly what the spirit of the age wants to do. Satan, he's walking about like a what? Like a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. He's seeking someone who, he's seeking someone who wants the spirit of the age. He's seeking that person. And in the end, get this, in the end, those individuals who consistently reject Christ, in effect, God judges them by sending them Antichrist. He says, you don't want to follow the good shepherd. You don't want the path that leads to life. In judgment, I will give you Antichrist. I will give you what you so long for. I will give you the spirit of the age summed up in a man called the Antichrist. Even now, the spirit of the Antichrist dwells. Even now, the spirit of the age is the spirit of the Antichrist. Daniel 11, Daniel 9, Daniel 12 talks about this man, this embodiment of the spirit of the age who is to come. And I love how some translation puts it. He says he speaks dark sentences, meaning his power is not his own. It's satanic. It's the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of the age. But Christ knows the sheep. He knows the Father. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. Think about that. I know who belongs to me. I know the people who aren't a part of the spirit of the age. I know them and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. In other words, Jesus intimately knows every one of you. Every one of his people. So yes, you can enjoy life in his name. Yes, of course it can be difficult living under the sun. But you can still enjoy knowing that he's going to fulfill his promises. He's like a balm in Gilead, right? He's the balm in Gilead. He soothes the heart. If you're weeping, he's going to wipe it away. You know, in the midst of tears and crying and suffering for the children of God, I can't describe it. It's like there's this hope that we have in the midst of the gray, right? We see the color. We see the reality. We see what's to come. We know that it doesn't get any more intimate when a saint of light is about to be taken home to glory. It doesn't get any more intimate when we know the shepherd. I've heard testimony after testimony of elder saints becoming so intimately involved with their shepherd moments before they pass away. I've seen the difference, and I'm sure some of you have. I've seen the difference between those who are laying on their bed who don't know Christ, who are just completely laden with fear and trembling, and still reject him and pass away into eternity, from those who just wrap their arms around him even more and more and more. And they get excited to be with the shepherd. Why? Because they know his voice. They know that's the only balm in Gilead that can revive their soul. Peace and life in his name. It can be enjoyed now. It can be enjoyed now. You know, I can look around right now, and I can look and I can see some of your faces. Some of you are just listening intently, and some of you just have smiles on your face. Just sprinkled smiles. Sprinkled smiles. I've even watched the Jonas and the worship team. They're up here just, jamming away, and they're looking up, and I see smiles on all of their faces. I see their hands just lifted up, not to the spirit of the age. To who? To the shepherd. To the shepherd. It's the greatest thing. I draw so much encouragement when I see your faces. I draw so much encouragement when you come to me and you ask me how I am doing. I draw so much encouragement because I know. I know that you are sons and daughters of light. I know this. Jesus is in the work of calling out a people for himself. He's drawing together one flock from various folds. There are more people out there. There are more people out there, right? What are we doing? What are we doing? Pastor Bob, get this. On Monday, we have the opportunity to make beds, right? I don't have a clue how to make a bed. I don't have a clue, right? And I'm kind of nervous, honestly. In my heart, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to do this. But you know what? He's drawing together one flock from various folds. We get to be out there sprinkling gospel grace to people who don't know the shepherd yet. What do we want them to know? We want them to know the voice of the shepherd, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. Who's he using? His sheep. His people who know his voice. In other words, in effect, he's saying, I've taught you what the word of God says. Teach others. Evangelize them. Oh, it can be hard. It can be hard at the Hartford Hub. It can be so hard. But Jesus is in the work of calling out a people for himself. And for those who may not know Christ today, do you hear the voice of your shepherd? Do you hear the voice? Do you hear his word? Is he calling you? If you want to surrender your heart over to Christ, speak with me or Pastor Bob or Rod or Pastor Pena or Dionis or Emmanuel or Alfonso or Barb or Ken. There's so many people here to talk to. Just, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Christ. Ma'am, I want to know the shepherd's voice. Don't be afraid. Just talk to one of us. Talk to one of us. He is drawing together one flock from various folds. Jesus is sent by the Father based on love and obedience. From before the foundation of the world, God sent his Son to get his sheep out of the spirit of the age. To get them out. Because they're not thinking properly. They're not thinking right. So what does he do? He orients people's hearts. He takes his sheep. He raises them spiritually from the dead, so to speak. And what? He changes the disposition of their heart based on love and obedience. And so what do? Based on love and obedience, we go out and make beds. Right? And it doesn't even have to be that. It could be something else. Wherever it is that your job is, based on love and obedience, just like Christ came down, what do? We go out. If you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let me say this. Jesus has all authority over life and death. No one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own. Listen, if he has authority and power to lay his life down and to pick it back up again, right? Then that means he truly has power that he's given to us as we live life in his name, to live that life in his name, right? If we believe that he rose again from the third day, why do we suddenly just take a step back and think that he's not helping us live this life in his name right now? Why would we doubt? If we've seen the scripture record from times past, why not the present? He has all authority over life and death. Well, I got to land this plane here. I got to go ahead and land this plane. This is what he did for you. He healed you. He saved you. He opened your eyes like the blind man. Like the blind man. He opened your eyes. You saw his grace. And in love and obedience, what is it that we do? We tell others about the voice of the shepherd. We tell others about the voice of the shepherd. And so for those who may not know Christ here, I would tell you, please, turn from your sin and place your faith in the one who is and who is to come, the Christ, the shepherd of your soul. He died on the cross to pay sin's penalty. And that cross, that life, you can have in his name. He is the door of the sheep. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. His sheep, those of you who are here, who have already named the name of Christ, you heard the voice. You've walked through the door. For those who haven't, surrender to the door. Surrender to Christ. His sheep will hear his voice and follow him. And we will dwell in his house forever. And I hope, again, for those who don't know Christ, we want you to be a part of this fold. We want you to be a part of God's family, Faith Church. Let's pray. And may the God of peace, who brought up the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, that is Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said, Amen.